Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. Michelle Perkins is back again, this time for ultrasound. So I love point-of-care ultrasound. The entire month of October is devoted to ultrasound because with Practical Pocus, we've got some upcoming courses. We want to make sure to get the word out. And what better way to talk about it than talking about all the different things you can use it for? One of the things I'm using it for all the time, it seems like, is with abscesses and differentiating between them and cellulitis. But before we get too far in the weeds here, Michelle, great to have you back as always. Can you just go ahead and give us a quick introduction?
Well, thanks for having me back again, Chip. I'm Michelle Perkins. I'm an ER doc in rural down East Maine, and I do not profess at all to be that proficient in ultrasound. I'm trying and I'm learning, and we do have a shiny new machine at one of my shops, so I'm very excited to be using it more. But I have had a lot of experience using it with abscesses, so I'm excited to talk about this today.
Yeah, and that's the neat thing is you don't have to be an expert with ultrasound to get good at it. And I think that's something that we've kind of talked a little bit about is just, a lot of it's about practice and kind of learning and just applying the principles and stuff like that. But one of the beautiful things with point of care ultrasound is that you get to do this all at the bedside. And with skin exams, like, are you really going to send that patient next door to radiology so that they can do a formal ultrasound or radiology performed ultrasound of their skin? Usually not, because this is something that, again, you can do right at the bedside. You can see, you can correlate it with the rest of your history and physical and get a good, solid understanding of this. And it's so simple. You can teach someone to do this in just a matter of minutes and explain this is what cellulitis looks like. This is what an abscess looks like.
Right. It's a very satisfying use, I think, of ultrasound, because it's like you said, it's easy. You put it on there, you know what you're seeing almost immediately, and it can really tailor your care in pretty meaningful ways, I think.
Yeah. And so since you are kind of newer to ultrasound in general, and especially to the use of for abscesses, how much have you noticed that sometimes maybe an abscess that you thought was there and that you were going to drain, do you actually change your mind because now you put it to the ultrasound probe and you see, oh, this is actually cellulitis. There's no abscess to drain in this case.
That happens in a fair amount of cases. I mean, these would be the cases that you would blindly cut into and just get all that, you know, blood out and be like super disappointed because you really wanted that geyser of pus. And actually being able to use the ultrasound can avoid those cases and really send you down a different path. So I found it to be very useful in those instances.
And as we talked about with a recent podcast too, patients will be much more understanding why you're not going to cut on them. Because some of them like are thinking like, this is the only thing that's going to fix this. I need a scalpel in my leg. And then you get other people who are like, please don't touch me at all if you don't absolutely have to. But you can explain like, this is why or why we don't need to do IND. By showing them the images that you're looking at and explaining it through, I feel like is such a huge part. And one of the most satisfying times for me to use ultrasound, because patients can actually see in real time why you need to do something or why you don't need to do something.
Yeah, I find that's the same way. I mean, obviously, I mean, INDs are one of the most painful procedures we do in the ER. And if you can explain to somebody that, no, this really isn't going to help your situation, it will be super painful, that's a really valuable thing to be able to do.
Let's talk a little bit about how you do this real quick, because I think it's worth kind of reviewing it for those who may not be used to doing this practice yet. So I like to take a linear probe because linear high frequency can see images well close up to the surface, because these are usually going to be pretty close to the surface in the first couple of centimeters that you're going to see of the skin. And what I like to do is I kind of like to fan the area, see out beyond the erythema what it looks like. And usually you'll see what appears to be normal tissue. And there's some great images that we're going to show about what that is on the show notes. But you're going to see what looks normal. And then you can get closer and you'll start seeing what looks like cobblestoning. And if you don't know what cobblestoning is, like think about the old pathways in the old parts of town where they have brick streets, or they used to have that brick street. You know, all those little gaps and spaces in between with those bricks there. That's cobblestoning. And I feel like when you see it, you'll all of a sudden you'll get what that means behind it, versus an abscess, which is just this dark pocket of fluid, usually dark. Sometimes it can be bright, but it's usually just this dark black pocket versus all this cobblestoning. And a lot of times you're going to see both mixed, especially with more significant infections. You'll see an abscess and you'll see cobblestoning around it. You notice the same thing?
Yeah, and actually, I like the fact that you mentioned starting with the normal tissue, because really, to get a good sense of the cobblestoning, just have it, it is such a difference, you know, it's a stark contrast between normal tissue and the cobblestoning. So starting over the, when you're kind of getting used to doing this, starting over the normal skin and then working your way over to the apparent cellulitic area and actually seeing that change. The change is pretty dramatic between the two, I think. So I think that was a great tip there.
Yeah. And one other thing to kind of look at too at the same time. Now, given that this is an abscess, you're going to be kind of looking at this anyway, but you want to look and see, are there any foreign bodies in this, or are there potentially any sort of vascular issues? So is there a vein or an artery running nearby that you really don't want to nick, because all of a sudden now you'll have lots and lots of bleeding. So instead of a geyser of pus, you have a geyser of blood, and no one really wants that. But you know, you're wanting to look around the area as much as possible. You're also wanting to look for any signs of like air in the soft tissues or stuff like that, which could be, you know, a sign of badness, like necrotizing fasciitis.
Right. And also just getting a sense when you're looking at that first kind of that first blush, getting some sense at how indurated is that skin soft tissue over the abscess. Because, I mean, back when we were doing it blindly, I was always amazed. Well, not always, many times amazed just how deep you have to go to actually get to the pus. And so getting that first look gives you some sense of how, what exactly you're going to be having to do and how deep you're going to be having to go to do it. So
you also want to measure the size of this, not only for the sake of record keeping purposes, but more importantly, so you can say like, okay, this is a 5 centimeter diameter abscess and it's pretty deep too. It's a couple of centimeters down. Okay, I should be expect to get a lot of pus out of this. So when I only get like 1 or 2 cc's out of it, I haven't done it all the way. Versus if I get this, oh, hey, a little 1 centimeter one, I got the drainage out of it. Okay, then that makes sense. I feel like I've gotten everything out of it. And that's important for what we're going to tie in with this study here in just a second.
Right.
Let's talk about this. There was a recent Annals of Emergency Medicine paper that's called Abscess Incision and Drainage with or Without Ultrasonography, a Randomized Controlled Trial. They always make such really professional sounding titles. There's nothing fun to it. It just tells you exactly what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's Gaspari, I believe, et al. And this is a paper where they basically took 125 patients. Half of them went to ultrasound, half of them went to physical exam. And after basically some follow-up stuff and whatnot, they got it down to 54 patients in an ultrasound group and then 53 in the physical exam group to analyze. And the overall treatment failure was 10.3%. And we'll talk about what treatment failure exactly is here in a second. But what they found out was the difference between the two groups was rather significant at 13.3%. So a number needed to treat of about 7?
Duh. I think so. I'm not very good with the nerdy numbers, but that sounds like it's a very small number needed to treat with that much of a difference.
Yeah, it's about 7. It's about 7. Somewhere between 7 and 8. So we'll say 7. That sounds better. So you got to treat people.
Yeah, right.
So, but really, I mean, it's very low. It's a really good number needed to treat to go ahead and do the ultrasound here. So I'd be curious, what are your thoughts on this paper?
I thought it was pretty well done for starters. I mean, it was, there were some methodologic flaws that people that are smarter than me about statistics could get into, but I think doing it, you know, it was randomized and controlled and, you know, really, I think, gave a nice kind of side-to-side comparison. It's like, is it better to drain an abscess with ultrasound or without? And just rely on your eyeballs. And I think the answer was pretty clear that it's better to use the ultrasound.
And the main point of treatment failure was repeat IND. And that happened 17% of the time when they did not have an ultrasound performed versus 3.7% of the time with bedside ultrasound, which I think is just huge. That, I mean, again, that difference of about 1 in 7 patients you need to treat using ultrasound, it's kind of one of those crazy things. Why not? Like you said, yes, there may be some flaws, just like any study, but this was pretty well done overall.
Well, yeah, especially if you look at, you know, when they break down the patient characteristics, I mean, it looks like the study groups were very, very similar, you know, as far as whether or not this, you know, the size of the abscess, whether or not there was concurrent cellulitis. It seems like they really did a very good job. Now, I don't think that this is necessarily statistically significant, but just looking at when they actually went in there and did the IND, there was a smaller number of people that actually got purulent drainage in the physical exam group, go figure. So, you know, the blind stab versus the ultrasound. I don't know if those two numbers were necessarily significant, but anyway, other than that particular thing, they were really well matched. So I think that it gave good data and good information.
I would add that the physical exam group treated their patients, I think, a little more of the traditional route of treating abscesses, as in they got packing and they got antibiotics.
Yeah, there was a significant number more that did the packing, I noticed.
Yes, yes. And to me, that tells me two different things. So there was a debate, and the paper mentioned this in its first paragraph, where it was like, and the treatment of abscesses really hasn't changed recently. Like, bullshit.
Yeah,
actually,
it totally has.
It has changed a lot.
Right.
But I feel like they still had a good point, whereas, you know, there haven't been a lot of landmark changes, but we are starting to use antibiotics more. Packing hasn't been shown to be beneficial. Irrigation, like true irrigation, when we're talking about like hundreds of cc's, not like what I kind of do with the abscess, where I run a little bit of fluid through it to make sure like I've cleaned everything out, and kind of also to help clean the wound at the same time. Like, they're talking about truly irrigating it, pressure washing it out, basically.
Yeah, right.
Like, those things haven't really been shown to be beneficial. So the classic, you just have to cut it, put some stuff in there, and, you know, it's going to be really painful and they're going to hate you for it, but it'll get better. Whereas it's really more of like a less is more approach, except for maybe, yeah, we need to start doing antibiotics more frequently.
I would have to agree with you on that. I don't know anybody who routine, well, I shouldn't say I shouldn't know, I don't know anybody, but I think most of us are getting away from routine packing because, like you said, it doesn't help. Patients hate it. It hurts. And obviously doesn't do anything to really help the disease process along.
Exactly. So when we talk about this model, like I said, the when you break it down to the individual patients and who failed and how they failed and stuff like that, most of these failures, these treatment failures, were very early on. And it was usually within the first couple of days. And basically either they worsened clinically or they continued to have an abscess, or they have basically this continued pain with fluctuance, but maybe there wasn't always drainage that came out of it as well. So it's just kind of one of those things. A lot of people ended up needing basically a repeat IND, but it's far more common in the physical exam group versus the ultrasound group.
Right. That was no question. And there really wasn't any other characteristic that held up, I don't think. But what really seemed to matter is making a difference in not failing was the ultrasound use.
And I have a bit of a theory on this because they didn't specifically say this and contribute this to the reasoning, but we talked about, and I really think more that this is probably a big part of it, in that they did a repeat ultrasound after the IND in the POCUS group. Well, that's really helpful because if you can ultrasound them again right after you did the IND, especially if there's any question to, did I get all the contents out? Now you can see, okay, well, on ultrasound, there's still this other cavity that I haven't even tapped into yet. Yeah, those patients are probably going to fail their treatment, even with the appropriate antibiotics and stuff like that. So we want to get as much of that pus out of there as possible and get that infection cleared out as much as we can. So a big part of that is making sure the IND is as complete as can be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd be curious right now, before seeing this paper, were you actually kind of re-examining them at all with the ultrasound after you initially identified it?
No, I really wasn't. I was just kind of, you know, get the pus out. If it was a reasonable amount, like you said, this is what I expected to get out, then just do my usual care from there. So that actually, I think, is a good take-home point, is just take a look again. The ultrasound's right there. Makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm going to start doing more often is, like you said, unless it's those little tiny abscesses where all you had to do is quick nick, squeeze it, you're done. You know, yeah, those probably on the original ultrasound, if it matches really well with what I got drained out, good. But anything of any real significant size, especially as we were kind of talking about before we did the actual recording, was the ones that you're probably going to have to do, traditionally you would do packing, but maybe a loop abscess instead. These are probably good ones that you should have the ultrasound at close by just to make sure, A, you've drained it well, and to help guide the loop abscess drainage.
Right. And I haven't done that like we were talking about before, I haven't actually done the two in conjunction with each other because that's my newest favorite technique to use in just about anything. But now I think this would be a really good kind of kick in the pants to incorporate the ultrasound into it so I can see where my second stab is going to be the most useful.
That actually kind of ties in with this. What are you using for your loop abscess right now? What are you doing to make the loop work?
We actually got vessel loops. We're fancy. I was initially cutting Penrose drains, but they looked awful and I couldn't get the diameter right and this and that. And they're just like, oh, we'll get you some of those from the OR. And they work great. The knots well, it's beautiful slide. So yeah, what do you use in your place?
When I have the vessel loops, I use them, but usually I have to use them. But another neat thing you can do is you can cut these down to size very quickly, but anything that's smaller, as long as it's, halfway decent and clean, I think is the main part with it. Because realistically, it's not going to be sterile when it's all said and done. But you want to make sure you're not introducing new crap into that area too.
Well, right. And actually, someone had a little tip that I've not used, but cutting the organ lens, the little tail there, is pretty much the perfect size.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
No, and it actually sounds like it would be a perfectly good hack to try.
I may have to try that next time. Since we don't have to use the Morgan lens too much.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think ultimately what I take away from this paper is that ultrasound, once again, is beneficial when it comes to abscesses, not only in recognizing it and making sure we're doing the right thing, but also to help confirm that we've properly treated it and to make sure that we're guiding our care appropriately, and also to help us try and limit any of the potential complications that can come as a result.
It's straightforward, it's simple, and pretty high yield.
So otherwise, do you have any other comments you want to add on this case?
No, I'm just excited to get back and try this on my shift tomorrow.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Can you go ahead and give us the tagline, please?
Until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.